as we talk about worship. Now remember, when you read, starting in verse 3, it starts describing this throne of Revelation 4:3. Verse 4, around the throne are 24 elders. They have these crowns. Verse 5, from the throne proceed lightnings and thunders and voices, and all of this description. Now look at verse 8. See, the atmosphere of heaven is worship. Do you see how it says that they don't rest night and day, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come." Do you see that atmosphere of worship? That immediately brings us to this slide. Who are these worshipers that are around the throne? How do you get around the throne? How do you get to heaven? See, that's really what this book is all about. That's why it was so popular. It explains everything. Let me take you back to answer that to Philippians 3:3, because, and that's, you go by, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. There we go, next page, Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 3. "For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Who are true worshipers? The Apostle Paul says people that have a circumcised heart. Do you remember what a couple days ago I was telling you about the fact that Ezekiel 36 talks about salvation, and starting in verse 26 and through 27, it says, "A new heart I will give you." So a new heart, a new spirit I'll put within you. I take out of you the old stony heart, and I put my spirit within you. That's what is called the new covenant. The new covenant is what we celebrate at communion. The new testament or covenant that's in my blood. This new heart and new spirit is what this circumcision, Paul said, "For we are the circumcision." This is surgical transformation of the inner part of us. He wasn't talking about the physical sign of the covenant of the Jews. He said they think that physical external circumcision gets them into the kingdom of God. He says, actually what God says is, "I want to circumcise your heart, not your body." See, this new heart we get, which is the new covenant, is what Paul says. See Philippians 3:3. How do you know you're the ones that have the right circumcision? Because you worship God in the Spirit, Philippians 3:3. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and don't have confidence in your flesh. That's what it takes away, the old, hard, do it my own way, going our own way, like Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." We go to our own way. That's our flesh. That's our old heart. So the true worshipers are those who worship God in the Spirit. Revelation 4 and 5 shows us a future picture of all true believers gathered in heaven as the true worshipers of God, worshiping at the highest level. Now, we worship here on earth. I mean, we just enjoyed, Bonnie and I, in our sheltering at home, enjoyed watching Grace Community Church, where we were on staff way back in the 80s with John MacArthur, and we watched that service and sang along with them and worshiped with them. And then we went to Central Park by way of the television and watched Franklin Graham speak. And then we also were participating in other services and singing along with other believers. Now, that's wonderful worship, but that's earthly worship. And we have distractions. I mean, even while I was sitting and watching, my phone is buzzing, and you know what I mean, and the heater is going on and off, and they're all different distractions. But what we see in heaven is unhindered, focused, glorified worship. What's heavenly worship like? Well, those in heaven are unhindered by time. They're not bothered by their flesh. They're not distracted. They're completely focused directly on the Lamb. And what are they doing? Look what it says in Revelation 4. I love this. I'll never forget the first time I taught through this decades ago. I was speaking in a church that had a main floor and a balcony, and I started saying, and that's how they worship in heaven. And all of a sudden I saw this elderly man get out of his chair and he disappeared. And I found out later that when he saw in Revelation that they, verse 10 of chapter 4, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, who lives forever, and cast their crowns. One of the elders told me later, he was in the balcony, that this gentleman first got out of his chair, then he got on his knees, and then he actually laid his head down on his hands on the floor. And he said, if that's how God is worshiped in heaven, I want to start doing it today. Think what it means to be unhindered by any distraction, focused on the Lamb, bowing in front of his throne. And most of all, each of those we see in chapters 4 and 5 are glorified. Now, glorified means, finally, we're transformed into sinlessness. Now, never on earth are we sinless. We're always struggling with the world that's trying to distract us, our flesh that's trying to entice us, and the devil that's trying to devour us. And we're always struggling with that, not in heaven. No more are there humannesses that weaken us, or sin, or the devil to interfere any way with our worship. It's worship at the highest level. And that's what we see. So that leads us to this question. So what kind of worship does God accept? Now, Jesus already commented on that. Remember, every part of the book of Revelation harkens back to somewhere else. Look at John chapter 4, because Jesus has already weighed in on what worship is that is acceptable to God. In John chapter 4 in your Bible, and verse 24 says this, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him, look at this, in spirit and in truth. What that means is that the only way to truly worship God is to have this new heart. That's when we get the Holy Spirit within us. Paul says that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We walk according to our father, the devil, the course of the god of this world. But when we get saved, this new covenant event right here, this spiritual heart surgery, gives us a new heart, and the Holy Spirit moves within, and that makes it possible for us to even worship. Now, I have my cell phone here, and this wonderful electronic device wears out in about a day of heavy use, or about a day and a half of light use. And it has right here the charging port. Now, of course, it also can have that, I don't even know how the cordless one works, but I can charge it, but I have to put it either connected with a cord or put it in its cradle to recharge it. Because without the power, it doesn't work. It's just a kind of a heavy, expensive object, but it doesn't function. Without a new heart, we can't worship God. So Jesus said this, biblical worship always has three elements. Think about everything you know in the Bible about worship. Every time worship is portrayed in the Bible, it has these three elements of chapter 4, verse 24. The person that's offering the worship, that's number one. Worship is not music. It's something a person offers. Now, worship is a part of it. Communion is a part of it, but communion is not worship. Preaching is not worship. Singing is not worship. Listening to music is not worship. Worship is, number one, the person offering the worship, and then the offering that they're bringing. So you have to be the right kind of person, you have to have the right kind of offering, and thirdly, the one they're giving that offering to. See, there's three parts. The person that's the offerer, what they're offering, and who they're sending it to. And look what it says in chapter 4. God is a spirit. That's the one we're offering to. And those who worship, that's the offerer, the person. Must worship, listen in spirit and in truth. That's the type. It has to be spiritual worship prompted by a regenerated heart, and it has to be based on, what is that other word? In spirit and in what? Truth. That's what makes these two chapters some of the most valuable in the Bible. This describes the worship that's acceptable to God. the content, the lyrics, the focus of what's acceptable to God. These three perspectives are always present in the Bible, and all three elements, the person, the offering, and the one that is being offered to, has to be right or the worship is wrong. And that's what is so clearly presented in these two chapters. And by the way, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says the only way that we can offer worship is to be surrendered, that we may, remember Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's an offering of worship, lateo, a spiritual service to God.